listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
It is the bonus hour on this Friday before Memorial Day weekend. Hope your week has gone okay. Been a tough week for most of us for the obvious reason. Miller and Moulton here on the Florida Sports Network. Later today is apparently when the players' names are being released for the LIV golf event in London, which starts Thursday, June 9th, which is 2 weeks yesterday. The list is coming out. Should be out by lunch, if not sooner.
Right.
If not, maybe even now because of the time difference.
It's not yet because I literally spent the majority of that break scanning Twitter because they are going, golf media is going bat blank crazy right now.
Yes.
Because you're going to hear a lot of this today. So-and-so did not talk to the media after the Charles Schwab challenge today. So-and-so did not talk to the media.
Right. Right. I mean, you know, one of those that's been whispered about recently is Patrick Reed. He's tied for the lead. Kevin Na's a shot off the lead. Kevin Na's caddy, I think, had this LIV Tour logo. I think he was wearing it in the PGA Championship.
All right. I probably should have asked to say this during the break before, but is there any chance that if the PGA Tour is serious about kicking these guys off, that they do it mid-round of this thing?
I don't think so.
I don't either, but
I think they do it Monday. Well, Tuesday because of the holiday. But no, actually might have to do it Monday because you want to make sure that they don't travel to the next event if that's what they were planning to, because isn't next week the Memorial? I think it is.
The following, because they've changed that a couple of times, David. That's
well, because I think they have the Memorial 2 weeks before the U.S. Open. The other thing is, I know the LPGA Tour wasn't crazy. The Memorial's up against their U.S. Open. And they're not crazy about that, but the PGA Tour is like, yeah, we're not going to put the Memorial the week before a major. We're going to put it 2 weeks before a major. More people will play in it.
Yeah, you're right. The Memorial is next week, and then the Canadian Open's the following, because that's the crossover tournament from this LIV event before the U.S. Open.
Speaking of golf tournaments, 2 weeks tomorrow. Huh? How about that? Smooth? Thank you.
That's a Thank pro you. Right there, everybody.
Miller and Moulton golf event at West Bay in Estero. If you haven't signed up yet and you're planning on playing, if you could do so this holiday weekend, it would help us out in many ways. FloridaSportsNetwork.com. It's a terrific course that's in phenomenal shape. You get golf. You'll get lunch. You'll get a shirt. There'll be some entertainment, food and drink available during the round. Benefits a good cause, including Folds of Honor. So, you know, nice little soiree we're trying to throw together 2 weeks from tomorrow. We are throwing it together. And we haven't done one of these in 3 years. We want to be able to meet and greet the many who have supported us through not just one, but two and now three acts. So look forward to seeing you 2 weeks from tomorrow. Please sign up this weekend if you can. From a planning standpoint, it makes things a lot easier. That's all.
Well said. With you 100% on that.
That's all.
Get it now.
So, yeah, so that's coming out today, you know, the proverbial Friday news dump. Yeah, no big deal or anything.
Put it this way, it'll get me to watch the Charles Schwab challenge this weekend. Because otherwise, I would have not put that on.
All right. You really think they're going to talk about this?
I want to just see him not talk about it.
Okay, well, that'll be no problem.
Because when Patrick Reed says he's playing in it, I become a Patrick Reed fan for the weekend because I want him to win the tournament.
Wearing some sort of LIV series hat? Now, I can't confirm the Patrick Reed. That's just been whispered about Patrick Reed.
No, I got you, but he's the perfect guy for this tour. Patrick Reed cares about Patrick Reed and money.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm waiting to see whether or not Phil goes through with this or not.
He's going through with it.
Okay, well, but, I mean, then
I've always thought, I mean, I guess I'm looking for the rest of them now. I mean, Phil's obviously
right.
The creme de la creme of this thing. But Patrick Reed might be the best player that goes over on it currently, if you know what I mean.
No, I agree with that. Also, I want to see how many European and international players, because their attitude is very different.
And they owe the PGA Tour nothing in their estimation.
Well, yeah, and not only that, most of them that we are thinking of are the Sergios, the Adam Scotts, the Poulters, the Westwoods. The first digit is a 4. In Westwood's case, he's a year away from the Champions Tour, which is interesting because there's money to be made out there, and he would make a lot of it, but not the money he could make playing 8 events on the LIV Tour. I mean, he could make $25 million if he tears up the LIV Tour. I mean, they're handing out $5 million for wins. They're all getting appearance fees. I mean, this is the cash grab. I mean, it's not crazy to think. I mean, all of these guys think they can win on that tour. One win, $5 million. That's 3 wins on the PGA Tour if it's just a regular event. And they're getting appearance fees.
Right, that's 3 wins in the best fields in the world. This
right.
is now a smaller field, no cuts. 54 holes, right?
Yeah, a couple of team events. I mean, are you serious? I mean, we know how much they love the QBE shootout. You know, that's splitting, $300,000 or whatever it is they're splitting.
Which at what point is the tour going to say Greg Norman can't be your
host
of this tournament?
Now, I will say his golf company.
Correct.
No, he sold it.
Right.
So it's not Greg Norman's company, if you will.
I got you. It's still a PGA Tour event.
It is listed.
When you go to PGATour.com, on their schedule, the QBE shootout is listed.
Right.
It doesn't say hosted by Greg Norman on it.
No.
But everybody's pretty well aware of who the host of this tournament is.
Correct. Yes. And I do think you and I are curious, will there be any fallout? I mean, you know. What, they take it off the schedule. But the other thing that I'm curious about is, will there be a couple of players who won't accept the invitations? Because some people on tour are really bent about this. This is not a joke to them.
Well, and what if they just try to cancel the event? Would he put it on the LIV Tour? I think he would. So I don't think they would cancel the event, if you know what I mean.
Oh, no, I don't think that it's officially sanctioned matters at all. I don't believe so. I mean, you know, what is it? You know, 24, 32 guys? I mean, come on. They can find 12, 16 teams. This isn't a problem. And I don't think that NBC will not televise it because of Greg Norman being the de facto host. They may not put Greg Norman on it, though. I mean, the PGA Tour may be like, listen, you could do the event. He can't be on the broadcast.
Right. I mean, because as we know, when they make the announcement of who's playing, Norman flies over and does the press.
Right.
And does an interview with us every year.
Right.
Then usually does one at the tournament.
But yes, in the golf world. Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, this is the biggest non-golf story that doesn't involve Tiger Woods in the last 25 years.
Trying to think of a bigger one. But the other thing is that if Phil's on the list, this effectively ends his career. I mean, the PGA Tour, we think, is going to come down really hard on these guys. They're going to try to ban them for life. But I think at first they're going to hand down 6-month suspensions or an indefinite suspension because they know it's going to court. So you might as well keep them off your tour until this thing gets settled by the Supreme Court.
And I would bet on the indefinite over a time period of suspensions, that they're just indefinitely suspended, of which we won't know unless they decide to change the way they do business because they don't announce suspensions.
Well, also at this point, though, if you're Phil and and whoever else is going to join him, do you just say, okay, I mean, in the past, these golfers have all played along with the PGA Tour. Yeah. Yes, I was on double secret probation, but they won't tell you for how long, you know. And some of them wouldn't even confirm or deny. I think now, though, if you're making a break, see, to me, if you're a player and you sign up for this event, you better be prepared then that you are making a break from the PGA Tour, because you're going to be dead to them. You know, and Ricky Fowler basically said, if you could read between the lines, I'd kind of like to play in a couple of these events, but I'm trying to figure out what the punishment's going to be. I mean, are they really going to ban me for life because I play in this one team golf event, said the Canadian Open? Don't know what to tell you. The purse is four times as much. I'm a golfer.
Right.
You know, I do this for money.
Right, who's not been making a lot of money, and now I have an opportunity to make a boatload.
Right.
And then the other side, particularly Fowler, is such a great, because he just got done playing pretty well in the PGA 2 years in a row. He's had a good PGA in which you say, hey, maybe this guy is going down the right path now, and he's straightened his game out.
I thought Faldo was pretty eloquent talking about Fowler, and also on the megacast, we had a few golfers talking about him, in which you say, you know, when you're in this group and all of a sudden you're not in the group with them anymore, they're three under making the turn on the front nine and you're even. And that didn't used to be the case. It messes with you.
Yeah, and I think it was Couples on the second day talking about how Fowler, he was actually, it's a better tournament for him, the PGA, the U.S. Open, where par's a good score. When you're having trouble shooting 67, well, that's great that you just got to go out there and try to find a way to shoot par.
Julie Inkster said something on the megacast I think we all have to remember. She said, golfers think it is easier to make up ground on a hard course. She goes, because we think a 3-under 67 will go a lot further. You know, you got to go 63, 64 on an easier course to equate a 3-under 67 on a hard course. And so, like, you know, we asked her a question and about, you know, those that were like 6-8 back, big names. And she goes, oh, I'm glad it's hard. I want it to get harder.
Miller and Moulton, just hoping things get easier and easier. And we thank you for listening right here on the Florida Sports Network.
Thanks for listening. And now, more of Miller and Moulton on the Florida Sports Network.
21 minutes past the hour. Miller and Moulton, Florida Sports Network. Thanks so much for being with us. Indy 500, Sunday afternoon, Indianapolis. Bright sunshine, low 80s is the forecast. 0% chance of rain. We'll see just how much basketball and hockey we'll have. Celtics win tonight. We don't have another basketball game till next Thursday. Final start June 2nd at Golden State. Period. End of sentence. So the Warriors are going to have a week, and the Celtics may have 6 days. Heat win tonight. Game 7 Sunday at whatever the arena is called now. Some crypto, right?
FTX Arena.
There we go.
It'll always be the AAA, though. Always.
Just like it'll always be Staples in Los Angeles. Boy, are they been about that.
Whatever.
I know.
My goodness, if I can't call an arena by a corporate name as opposed to a different corporate name, what is the world coming to?
I take it as like an
such
attack.
Such a joke.
I take it like
it's a joke.
An attack on Kobe.
Mark, you're the type of guy who calls the Sears Tower the Willis Tower. It's the Sears Tower.
I didn't even know what the new name is.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. No.
Don't care.
No.
Been the Willis Tower for like 13 years.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Right.
But it's the Sears Tower.
Yeah. It's probably what I'd call it too. That's a little
different. It's a little different than an arena with a corporate name attached to it. I mean, it was the Sears Tower for how long? Since it was built. These arenas change names like people change clothes.
Right.
It was the Staples Center from the time it was built.
That's true, but it was like 20 years.
It's still a corporate sponsorship. It's not like Staples built it.
It's kind of like college. We view it as more like a College Bowl sponsorship.
Yes.
That if all of a sudden it changes, okay. Like some changes we like. You know, St. Petersburg, they're going through a sponsor like every 2 years. You know, they had the Beef O'Brady's Bowl at one point in time. You know, wasn't it Bitcoin?
Well, the Bitcoin Bowl. If we would have just dumped a paycheck into the Bitcoin Bowl, I wouldn't have to do the show anymore.
I mean,
what do you call where the Dolphins play?
It's the Hard Rock. The Rock. Hard Rock Stadium.
Put it this way. Before Hard Rock, though.
Landshark for a short while.
Like a lot of us just called it Pro Player.
Yes. I
call it Joe Robbie.
Well, there you go.
Right. When I say Hard Rock, but then when I joke around, I say or Joe Robbie or Pro Player or Landshark or Sun Life or Dolph. You know that one year it was Dolphin Stadium and then the next year it was Dolphins Stadium.
I don't get it. There's a guy suing in Jersey to make the Giants and Jets be referred to as the New Jersey Giants and Jets.
It's been going on for a while, hasn't it?
You know, the folks in Jersey are fine with it. We really are. I mean, there was one year I thought early on when the Giants moved to the Meadowlands, they put a little NJ on the helmet. And I was just kind of like, come on, it's the New York Giants. They're playing here because they got a deal on the land and all that. And come on. They're the New York Giants.
What if you spell it Giants with a J? Make it New York Giants.
Yeah, that would bother me a lot. That would bother me a lot. Another decision that's expected here soon, which 99% of the world could care less about. But, I mean, it's been thought of for a few years now that the ACC is moving their headquarters to Charlotte. And you spent some time there on Tobacco Road, and you know this is a BFD.
They're going to move it from Greensboro, the home of nothing?
Mark, but you know, all right, in the northern part of that state, all right, Greensboro is the ACC. That's where the basketball tournament should be held. And come on now, you and I, in fairness, there are certain events in which we go, come on, this needs to be held here.
Right, but see, the ACC tournament needs to be held in Charlotte, not in Greensboro. And certainly not in New York City.
Well, I totally agree with that. All right, but there are a lot of people in ACC country, which technically we count, you know, in between Miami and Tallahassee, but in ACC country,
right,
they
we're
think
in the heart of ACC country.
We
right
really
here.
Are, especially now that Comcast finally has the ACC network.
Oh, they do?
I thought they did.
I don't know. I've been on DirecTV for a couple of years.
Yeah, it's on like some channel though that's really hard to find.
Good for Comcast.
Yeah, I think it's in like the 1600s, but I believe they picked it up. But that decision is coming really soon. I mean, the mayor of Greensboro, presser and everything, in which he said, we put our best foot forward. The residents of the city should know we made a great case. I mean, she even knows it's going to Charlotte. I mean, come on.
I mean, yeah.
This is the slowest rip of a Band-Aid off a scab on a hairy arm that I think I've ever seen.
Why did you have to go through all of that? That hurt me, you talking about that.
I mean, this is like a year and a half of water torture for the people of Greensboro. The whole world knows it's moving to Charlotte.
Absolutely.
This will be one of the greatest upsets of all time if they do this two-year dog and pony show and decide to keep it in Greensboro. I mean, when you have presidents of universities saying, well, I ain't voting for anything unless I can get a direct flight. That seems to rule out Greensboro.
Well, unless you're in Charlotte, Charlotte or Raleigh, I think it's the only direct flights they have out of Greensboro. Maybe Atlanta.
So, I don't know if the word's going to leak out today or this weekend between the LIV tour and where the ACC is going to call home.
As long as it's not Syracuse.
I think there's a pretty good chance of that. Here's what I'm wondering. when, you know, the Big Ten and the SEC form their own Super League here and each conduct their own championships and then play one another for the national. I mean, think about if they did this. I'm tongue-in-cheek here, but I'm not. With what everyone is talking about, what is to prevent the SEC and the Big Ten?
Well, and first off, because the SEC has already talked about having a semifinal game before a championship game. Yeah. That's already out in the open.
Yeah, doing their own tournament.
Right.
What is to prevent the SEC and the Big Ten from huddling over in the corner and going, you do whatever the hell you want. We'll do whatever the hell we want. Winners play. We'll call it the national championship. Who's going to fight us? Who's going to disagree? Who's not going to televise it? Who's not going to watch?
Hey, the fact of the matter is, 16 now in the SEC, 14 in the Big Ten. I'm sure everybody's thinking, which two would the Big Ten grab? They wouldn't have to grab anyone. It's not that far from what could happen.
I mean, I think you give it one more series of contracts. Big Ten's in the, you know, next 2 months. They're going to announce their new TV deal. It's going to go for however long it goes, probably into the...
Probably 10 years.
So early 2030s. The SEC's got their long-term deal locked up with ESPN, which I think is around 12 years. Takes them into the almost mid-2030s. And then I think it's everything that we've talked about.
And... there's no other conference that's going to... the other three Power 5 conferences combined won't get the money the Big Ten's getting. What's left of the Big 12, the ACC, and the Pac-12 will not get the money combined that the Big Ten's getting.
Only chance is if one or two of the streaming services just throw stupid money out there, A, because they have it, and B, get a chance to get the programming. But that's their only shot.
I don't think you're that far off. I mean, Notre Dame and USC would like to have something to say about it, but you're not that far off.
But if at the end of the day, the SEC and the Big Ten looked at a few schools and said, you got to decide, are you in or out? I think they'd be in.
I know they'd be in. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Today was a day win. Coming up next, Miller and Moulton.
Welcome back to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
Minutes before the hour, the home stretch of Miller and Moulton for the week, heading into a Memorial Day weekend. We'll have a best of show on Monday. We hope you all have a safe, fun, please take a moment to observe, holiday weekend. Now I'm all excited to see the list.
You and I both.
Well, you're a wreck over there.
No, that was actually a work email. I was just finishing up there. One of the affiliates wanted to know what you were just saying. What are we doing on Monday? So I was just letting everybody know that someone that didn't know, it's a best of on Monday.
Right.
That's all that was. No, but...
and if you want to carry it, that's awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. Speaking of which, since it's, you know, also the bonus hour, Blades go for the sweep tonight at Hertz. Up 3-0 on Newfoundland. They got two more shots at home to get the one, tonight and tomorrow.
They wouldn't tell you this because they just want to get it over with, but they'd like to win this in five. A couple of good weekend draws.
Well, I think ownership would love
that's
to
what
win.
I mean.
Yeah, ownership would love if they're going to get two good weekend draws.
They should.
Yes, they should. By the way, hats off to NBC2. They're all wearing Blades colors. To, you know, honor, tip the cap to the Blades being a win away from the finals.
So is Felipe.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Ditch the Heat.
Dumped the Heat down 3-2. Yeah, it is.
Jumping on the Blades wagon. All right. Only 5 wins away from a championship there.
You're using the term dump way too loosely.
Yeah.
No,
I have not dumped anything. I have been appalled, disappointed, and offended.
I am shocked and appalled. I tell you.
You certainly had a breakup with your team.
Yeah, man.
And now this may be an eighth grade relationship breakup that you break up on Friday and are back together by Monday.
But man, you are bent out of shape.
It is.
Well, I'll tell you.
I'm disappointed in you, Felipe. I'm disappointed in your fandom.
Wow. Wow. It's one of the worst words you could use right there.
I know.
Just cuts. It might not work on the younger generation the way it worked on ours, Mark. It was the worst thing you could say.
Yeah, Mark, I don't care. I'm sorry. I'm still a Heat fan, but I'm disappointed Heat fan.
I don't know. He hasn't said we for 2 days.
Right.
So, man, he's really been out of shape.
Yeah, because they still haven't hit a three. So why don't we say we do this?
Leave it to the oldest guy in the show, and definitely the oldest soul, to live in the past. Here's David Moulton with Today Was the Day When...
That's how you produce.
That's forcing me to follow a lead right there. The Habeas Corpus Act was passed in England on this day in 1679. So that's how far, obviously, we ended up adopting it just a few years later. But, you know, that's where it originated 343 years ago. 1930, the Chrysler Building opened in New York City. It was over 1,000 feet tall at the time, the tallest building in America, 1,046 feet. Golden Gate Bridge opened on this day in 1937. It was also the same day that Carl Hubbell, the New York Giants, won a Major League record 24th consecutive game. The streak started in mid-July the year before. Damn. Pretty good. Where are we going here? 49. The Cleveland Indians, because they were the Indians then, and they had just won the World Series the year before in 48. So they start 49, Mark, at 12-17. Owner Bill Veeck goes, yeah, we got to wipe the slate clean. He comes up with a second opening day promotion. 1963, Freewheeling with Bob Dylan. His breakthrough, was that his first?
No.
I mean, it is almost 60 years ago, but that was considered his breakthrough album.
Okay.
Is what I read.
All right.
Freewheeling, or The Freewheeling Bob Dylan is what it was named. 1968, George Halas retired on this day. 54 years ago. At the time, the all-time leader in wins with 318 and six NFL titles. Also, Montreal and San Diego were awarded National League franchises on this day, 54 years ago. 1969, Walt Disney World begins construction at Bay Lake and Lake Buena Vista.
Anything going on with them recently?
Nah, haven't really been in the news much, nope. Penske wins his first Indy 500 50 years ago today with Mark Donahue. Flyers win their second and right now last Stanley Cup at the Odd in Buffalo. The Foggy Odd in Buffalo, Game 6, 2-0 Flyers. Bernie Parent, second year in a row, he wins the Conn Smythe. It is amazing that the Flyers, 47 years later, have not won another cup. 77, the Sex Pistols release God Save the Queen. The Empire went bank blat crazy. The BBC ends up banning the song.
Oh, yeah.
Which only helped the Sex Pistols even more.
I mean, it was banned in shops. It was banned on radio. It was banned damn near everywhere.
Not in America. Rick Mears on this day in 79 wins the first of four Indy 500s. By the way, other winners of Indy on this day, Mark. Castroneves won his first 21 years ago. Dario Franchitti won two of his three Indy 500s on this day in 07 and 2012. And in 2018, Will Power, which hate most him. Of us don't have. The first Aussie winner of the 500. The Colorado Rockies became the New Jersey Devils on this day 40 years ago.
Happy birthday, Seth. At least New Jersey Devil birthday.
In 1984, Bulgaria's Manuela Maleva good player. She's in the Italian Open. It's backed up by rain. She has to play the quarterfinals, and if she wins the semifinals, and then the finals all on the same day. She does it, including beating Chris Evert in the final. Only seven players beat Chris Evert on clay. Mileva was one of them, and it was her third match of the day.
Well, she had momentum, David.
I hear that's big in sports. On this day in 85, Britain agreed to return Hong Kong to China 12 years later. They did it in 97. Dale Murphy retired on this day in 93 with 398 homers. When he retired, you and I both thought, well, he's going to the Hall of Fame.
So did he.
Because Al Kaline had 399 home runs. Now, he also had 3,007 yes. hits. But Murphy, two-time MVP, played center field. We thought, well, he's going to the Hall of Fame. Hasn't happened. On this day in 94, it was the final Arsenio Hall show and the final Larry King radio show. How many of you remember listening at 2 a.m. to Conspiracy Theory Radio? Roswell, New Mexico, hello. Also, on this day in 94, Matteau, double overtime game winner for the Rangers against the Devils to go to the finals. Christopher Reeve paralyzed from the neck down on this day in 95 after falling from his horse in a riding competition. And a year ago today, it was the Friends reunion on television, 17 years after the show had ended. Sam Sneed, Lisa Left Eye Lopes, Vincent Price, and Hubert Humphrey, all born on this day.
That are no longer with us. Left Eye died at the age of 30.
Left Eye would have been...
Far and away the prettiest of the three TLC.
Wait. Oh, okay. I thought you were saying far and away the prettiest of Sam Sneed, Vincent Price, and Hubert Humphrey.
That too.
Would have been 51 today. Pat Cash is 57 today. Frank Thomas and Jeff Bagwell are both 54. Danny Werfel is 48. Daniel Jones, because I refuse to call him Danny Dimes, is 25. Don't you have to like
throw a dime to be called Danny Dimes?
Don't you have to do something to get a nickname?
Yes. All right.
Daniel Jones is 25. Todd Bridges is 57. I have to admit I had the under. Louis Gossett is 86. Adam Carolla is 58. Henry Kissinger's 99. And that's all I got.
A couple of omissions here. It was today in 2014 that Fitty threw out the first pitch at the Mets game.
It was awful.
And it was in 1994 that the Eagles reunite for a show that they ended up launching their Hell Freezes Over tour after a 14-year break.
Look, it's late May, which means it's...
This day in Miami Heat history?
No, this day in LeBron James history, he made his eighth straight NBA Finals, winning Game 7 in Boston. Something that I hope the Heat can do tonight. Right?
Yeah, whatever.
He sounds almost angry as opposed to wishful and helpful.
You know, make some shots.
Please? You know, it's best to put that thing on silent when you do the show.
That's a good point.
Just a thought. You know, you do a radio show, the phone really shouldn't be going off.
I know most of the time you're not on the mic, but when you do, you can't have the phone ringing.
You've heard folks elsewhere mock Florida is gonna Florida. Well, Mark Miller sees it differently. He calls it the good, the bad, and the ugly. What you got, Mark?
For the good, we go to Charlotte Harbor. And an oyster bar in Lake County, Florida has saved its leftover shells for 7 years. They were barged out into Turtle Bay and now making their own oyster bar. It's actually really cool because this can actually produce more oysters, help clean the water. It's a great thing. But I'm just amazed. I don't know where the hell... I don't know where the Clermont Oyster Bar stored the oyster shells for 7 years. It does make me think about oysters for lunch, though. Apparently, there's a new place over by Pop Stroke I need to try, David.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
For the bad, well, We go to St. Petersburg, where a trespassing suspect by the name of Kenneth Gray walked into a closed Mexican restaurant at 2:15 in the morning with his pants open and his genitals exposed.
Oh, come on.
He explained to Florida police that he was doing a chant and cleansing himself spiritually. They didn't buy it and took him to jail.
So that's what they're calling it now?
And finally, the real ugly. We go to Cape Coral, where a Cape Coral woman was arrested and is facing charges after telling school faculty she was going to attend her child's graduation with a fake bomb strapped to her due to her child being unable to graduate because of disciplinary reasons.
Seriously? This week? You're first off, you're pulling that stuff.
It was last week when she did it.
Okay.
But regardless.
Wow.
Tracy Carter, you wonder why your kid's having disciplinary issues?
Yeah.
Look in the mirror, sweetheart. You're a train wreck. Get better. And that is The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly on May the 27th, 2020.
Got hockey tonight on TNT, 8 o'clock. Can the Avs, after failing to close out the Blues in Game 5 in Colorado, blew a 3-0 lead and a 4-3 lead in the final minute. Can they win and advance to the conference finals for the first time in 20 years? They're minus 170, Mark. That's a clear favorite. Had Pat Micheletti on the show earlier. He basically says whoever wins tonight's game is going to win the series.
Well, I think Colorado wins. They showed a stat yesterday that I'd seen. There's 6 times a team has come back from 3-0 to win a game. They've never won the next game in a playoff series.
Heat 4 times have been down 3-2 and have come back to win the series. Need to win tonight, obviously, in Boston to force a game 7. It's on the 4-letter network at 8:30. The Celtics are an 8.5-point favorite.
I'd lay it. I know Miami's going to play really hard tonight. I just think they're undermanned, they're banged up, and this is the end for what's been a great Heat team this year. It's too bad. They're injured.
I can't disagree with anything you said, but there's a part of me that, you know, maybe we get the close games in the finals.
I hope so.
And I do think that series will go a long way. Like, we've only had, what, 1 game 7?
In the playoffs, yes, yeah, so far.
The Boston-Milwaukee?
Yes.
Yeah. So, 8.5 tonight for the Celtics. You know, baseball, the
did
Yankees
Dallas
and Rays.
7 against the Suns?
Yes, they did. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
You know, we just forgot about it because they got murdered, the Suns.
Right.
They lost by 40.
Yeah. So the 2 semifinal series, yeah, 1-7. Good call, Mark. Yankees in St. Pete again to face the Rays. They're leading now 5.5 in the East. Marlins are in Atlanta to face the Braves. And, you know, I got a funny feeling this is a big series for Joe Girardi's future employment. They're 3 below 500. They're 7.5 back of the Mets. Got a 3-game series in New York.
Someone's got to start beating the Mets with all their pitching on the DL.
Well, the division games are lining up here. You know, I'm telling you, the Mets are going to go into a little slump here. If they don't acquire some arms now, they're doing it little smoke and mirrors at this point. And a lot of guts, but at some point, you need talent. Okay, A's, 3 more home games against the Rangers. They did 3,203 last night. So adding up, do the math here.
They'll do over 30,000 for these 3 games.
I'm going under.
I'll go under.
It's Memorial Day weekend.
I understand.
Mark, people have much better things to do on Memorial Day weekend than go to an A's game.
Baseball.
I understand.
Listen, hot dogs.
Apple pie, Chevrolet.
Yeah.
I got it. Don't know what to tell you. They're really mad at the owner.
Long weekend at the Coliseum.
Hey, I boycotted hockey for a year. I mean, you know, when you get a burr up here, you know what? I mean, you know, you cannot sit on it for a year.
I hear you. Have a great weekend, everyone. We appreciate you listening. Sign up for the golf tournament. It's June 11th at West Bay. Go to FloridaSportsNetwork.com. We'll do this all over again Monday morning. Best of. We'll be back Tuesday, 6 a.m.